A happy Sabbath again, dear ones, and a welcome to our main church service on this fourth day of November, 2017. Sabbath greetings to those on the phone, those listening to the recording, joining us on the WLMR radio, and glad to have you all in fellowship. Our opening song is the hymn, "Is Your All on the Altar?" And those who know this beautiful hymn, please feel free to take a verse. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and
would you walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, and have peace and contentment always. You must do His sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar your all must lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul.
Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed. Till our body and soul He doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul.
Who can tell all the love He will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made? Of the fellowship sweet we shall share at His feet, when our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul.
Amen. I invite you to please kneel and bow your heads for opening prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for your infinite love that has made our salvation possible. Dear Savior, we also thank you for your infinite love that has prepared the way for us to be saved, and that you will walk hand in hand with us all along the pathway that leads to eternal life. And thank you, dear Spirit, for your love as well, that encourages us, that convicts us, and that guides us all along the way. Thank you, Godhead, for making every provision necessary for us to be saved and not to be lost. And please help us to be filled with your love, that we may indeed love you as we should and be willing to sacrifice everything, laying it on the altar, that we may please you and work in harmony with your efforts to save us. Father, I thank you that this world is being filled with your glory, with the knowledge of present truth as the waters cover the sea, and soon every decision will be made for or against thee. The end will come and we can then go home. Help us to get ourselves prepared, moment by moment, day after day, growing in grace, until we reach that perfect, mature man or woman or child in Christ Jesus. Spirit, I pray that you will lead and guide us into all truth. Help us to understand the spiritual meanings behind who and what is Zion, and help us to make sure that we are a part of this dwelling place of the Most High. And Savior, I pray that you will continue to bring the miracles of healing to those that are physically afflicted or spiritually afflicted or even mentally afflicted in various ways. And thank you so much for doing so, especially healing us of all our spiritual maladies and setting us free. Pray that you will continue to be with Brother Elvis and help him to see and embrace the present truth. Be with Pastor Kay and continue to protect him and his family and our fellow brothers and sisters there in Papua New Guinea from the persecution and warfare taking place there among the tribes. Continue to be with our dear brother Jim and heal him in whatever is causing his infection, and raise him back up to life and health. Thank you so much for doing so. Continue to be with our dear sister Ida and Janelle and brother Vic, and please help them to find the perfect home for them to reside in, and let it be soon according to thy will. Also continue to be with our dear brother Dick and help his wound to heal perfectly and without any complications. And thank you for doing so. Be also with our dear sister Haley, and please help her to overcome the cold and the flu, as well as allowing the teething experience to be lessened and her teeth to come in with less pain. And thank you so much for doing so. Be with our dear brother Robert and help him in the the pains and the back problems that other areas that he has been afflicted with. And thank you so much for doing so. Be with our dear sister Joan and help her eye to heal up completely and allow the planned surgery to go well and to have her eye fully recovered soon. And thank you, Father, for hearing and answering all the prayers and petitions and requests that have been asked in this room as well as by your people all around the world, according to thy perfect will and in your timing. Thank you indeed for setting us free and for answering our prayers. And thank you, Father, for the great blessing to this ministry. Be with us now and again help us to understand the truth about who and what is Zion. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So, who and what is Zion? And this is part three. And last Sabbath we discovered that Zion and Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed because of the determined, unrepentant, and wicked leaders of the church who had chosen apostasy against God instead of obedience and righteousness to him, and then they rejected Jesus Christ. God then declared that he would never regard or favor these three sites again, and thus Zion, Jerusalem, and the temple have no further significance in the plans of God in these last days. But even though the literal city of Jerusalem, the temple on Mount Moriah, and even Mount Zion have no further significance in the plans of God, yet the Bible does have several prophecies dealing with all three sites in a spiritual sense. And last time we saw that the biblical representation of the city of Jerusalem would symbolize the world today in a spiritual sense. We learned that the biblical representation of the temple of Jerusalem would symbolize all the various churches and denominations today in a spiritual sense. And we learned that the biblical representation of the literal Mount Zion, which was the dwelling place of God, would spiritually represent the soft, humble hearts of those who are true and faithful to God, and not the stone-hard, proud hearts of the unconverted. We then amazingly discovered last time that it is only the presence of Christ that can constitute a church of Christ. And this church of Christ knows no bounds of denominationalism or nationality or race or gender. So if Jesus Christ is not found abiding in the heart, then that individual is not a true follower of God. No matter who they may be, and no matter what outward appearance they may display, and no matter what exalted name they may call themselves by, or what denomination or church they may belong to. This is because profession alone is nothing with God. God's true church, his spiritual Zion of today, is not any denomination or church or professed people. It is only those who truly love God and who obey him completely and fully from an honest, loving heart. And thus they have Jesus Christ abiding within them. That is why the foundation of God's true church, the spiritual Mount Zion which he has chosen and where his glorious and loving presence dwells, is not founded upon any denomination or church, no matter how long they may have been in existence. God's true church is not founded upon lineage or nationality or race or person. It's not founded upon tradition or the teachings of men. It's founded only upon Jesus Christ and Him alone. So this is what we learned last time, and today we'll continue learning more about this vitally important truth of Zion. And for those that would like to follow along with the quotes they'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID943.htm. So the foundation of God's true church, His spiritual Mount Zion, which He has chosen and where He dwells, is not founded upon any denomination or church, but is only founded on Jesus Christ. And if you look at quote number one from 1 Peter 2, verses 3 to 8. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore it is also contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. So Christ is the foundation stone, the cornerstone of Zion. And all of those individuals who know the Lord to be precious, have accepted Him as their Savior, are built up upon Zion, the spiritual house and dwelling place of the Lord. So this reveals that Jesus Christ is the only true foundation of God's true church of Zion today. So this means that the denominations and churches and religions throughout the entire world that take the position that they are God's spiritual Zion and that all followers of God must be connected with their particular structure or religious system in order to find God and eternal life are actually pushing Christ aside and placing themselves as the mediator between God and His people. But there's only one mediator, and that is not any church, any denomination, any person except Jesus Christ. If you look at quote number two from 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, for there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So for any denomination to push Christ aside and put themselves in His place and claim that you have to belong to their group in order to be saved are not working with Christ, they're working against Him. And if you're against Christ, then you are anti-Christ. In Matthew 12, verse 30, he that is not with me, Christ said, is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. So then any church that puts forth the teaching that you have to be a member of their group, You have to belong to them in order to be saved, in order to find Christ, are antichrist. And all these anti-Christian churches will fall. They will not go through to heaven. No matter who they make a covenant and agreement with to try and avoid being destroyed. In Psalms 2 verse 6 and 10 through 12. I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, and be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. In Jeremiah 51, verse 1, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will raise up against Babylon and against them that dwell in the midst of them that rise up against me a destroying wind. In Isaiah 28, verses 14 to 18, Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, We have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste or be confounded. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. Now, if you look at quote number 3, in this world today, there is not a single denomination or church which is 100% pure and undefiled, that is, without the spot or stain of sin. That is why salvation and eternal life cannot be found within any denomination or church. It's not to be found in any temple or synagogue, in any shrine or holy site. But it is only found in Jesus Christ alone, because he is completely sinless. He is only holy and pure, righteous, without the least taint of sin. That's why salvation and eternal life can be only found in Jesus and not in any church. So this means that it is only the faithful who embrace Christ as their Savior and who fully trust and lovingly obey God who will not fall or be destroyed, because Christ cannot fall or be destroyed. And only those who are connected with Christ will abide forever, because they make up God's true church, his spiritual Mount Zion, where God loves to dwell in. In Psalms 125, verse 1, They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. They will not fall, because they are connected with Christ. Now, another way to look at this is from this following perspective. If you look at quote number 4. Since spiritual Zion represents God's purified people and his true church, and God's professed followers are supposed to be in the process of overcoming all their sins, but they have not yet perfected their characters, then these would be likened to sinners in Zion. And God will continue to test and refine and purge the characters of all his professed followers until they either are completely purified from all sin, becoming his Zion, or they choose to cling to their sins and be separated from Zion and no longer part of his faithful people. We're told in Isaiah 33, verses 14 to 17, and verse 22. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with a devouring fire? In other words, in the presence of God. Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? And then the answer, he that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. And if we're among the people that do these things, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His water shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. Now, after this refining process is all over, in the end, Zion will only be composed of a completely purified and righteous people who are separated from all sin, from all determined sinners, and from all corrupt and fallen churches. Truly, they will compose God's true church of remnant, spotless saints, making up Zion. But the scriptures also tell us that this remnant people of Zion will be intensely persecuted by the devil, by the wicked, and by all the fallen churches of Babylon. And this persecution will continue to the point that even though their brethren forsake them, their numbers diminish, and they appear ready to fall, yet they remain faithful to Christ and obedient to God's truth, and they will not fall. These faithful, obedient, remnant people cannot fall, because they are founded upon the immovable rock of Christ Jesus, the King of Zion, and he will not forsake them in their time of need. If you look at quote number 5, from Isaiah 49, verses 13 to 16. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. So God's Zion, his true church, that Christ is the king of or the head of, is not composed of all the denominations or even just one denomination, including the Seventh-day Adventist Church. But God's true church of Zion is composed of faithful souls who purify their characters and lives in loving obedience to Christ, their King of Zion. That is why salvation and eternal life is alone found in Jesus Christ and not in any denomination. Salvation is only to be found by being connected to and remaining in Christ Jesus. And in remaining faithful to him, you thereby become part of God's spiritual Mount Zion, his true church, the body of Christ, who's the King of Zion. And God's true church of Zion cannot fall or be removed because it abides forever. If you look at quote number 6, from John 3, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. In 1 John 5, verses 11 and 12, and this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. This plainly shows us that salvation is only found in Jesus Christ, and if you're connected with him, you have eternal life. So it's not found in the Pope, it's not found in the priest, it's not found in the minister, it's not found in the church or denomination, no matter what name it calls itself. Because salvation, eternal life, is only found in Christ. And thus it's an individual matter, not a group issue. We're not saved by groups. We're saved by our individual connection with Christ Jesus. As this is true, if you look at quote number 7, the Bible reveals that only the following individuals can be part of spiritual Zion, God's true church today. Those individuals who turn away from their sins can be part of God's Zion. This is Isaiah 59, verse 20. Those who grow in spiritual strength can be part of Zion, which is Psalms 84, verse 7. Those who are righteous, Isaiah 33, verse 5. Those who are holy, Isaiah 62, 12, and Obadiah 1, 17. And those who are united together in message and work can be part of God's spiritual Zion. This is Isaiah 52, verse 8. God's word of truth also reveals that only those individuals who are part of spiritual Zion can be God's people. This is Isaiah 51, verse 16. They have the promise of salvation, Isaiah 62:11 and 46:13. They loudly cry out and shout for God, Isaiah 12, verse 6. Only those that are part of God's spiritual Zion can be redeemed, Isaiah 127, 62:12 and Psalm 74 verse 2. They will gain eternal life. In other words, abide forever. Psalms 125 verse 1. They will be saved. Psalm 69 verse 35. And finally, they will appear before God, which is Psalms 84 verse 7. All these verses reveal to us that spiritual Zion today cannot represent any of the denominations or churches in the world, including Seventh-day Adventist Church. And this is because all the churches are composed of good and bad, wheat and tares, wise and foolish individuals, which need to be cleansed in God's appointed way. So since Zion today only represents those who remain faithful to God and Jesus Christ, and since these true followers are to be found throughout all the world, in all the denominations, then how is God going to save Zion, his true people, from among the wicked in all of these places who will be destroyed? How is God going to save Zion from being destroyed along with the wicked? Now, we discovered earlier that the biblical representation of the Temple of Jerusalem would symbolize all the various churches and denominations today in a spiritual sense. And we also discovered that if Christ personally would come to all the various denominations and churches of today, that he would set about to cleanse them all as he cleansed the temple anciently. And believe me, it is God's desire to cleanse all the professed churches who claim to be his followers. But many believe that God will cleanse his church by separating all the wicked and false people out of the churches and thus leave only the righteous remaining within. Others believe that God will miraculously change the character of all the wicked and false people in the churches, making them instantly true and righteous, so that no one will need to separate from any church. So then just how is this cleansing process of God to be accomplished in all the various denominations and churches of today, claiming to be God's true church, when in fact they're a mixture of good and bad, true and false? How's God going to cleanse them? Let's see what God's word declares. If you look at quote number 8. From Isaiah 9, verse 6. And happy Sabbath, dear brother Joseph. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Hosea 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. That describes what's taking place in all the churches of today. God continues. Micah 2, verse 6 and 8. Even of late, my people is risen up as an enemy. Arise ye and depart, for this, or the apostate church, is not your rest. Because it is polluted, it shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction. In 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 to 18. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord or agreement hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. When does God become our God and we become his people? God continues, Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And when we've obeyed this command, what's going to happen? Continuing, And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. When does God become our Father and we become his sons and daughters? Is it while we are yoked together with unbelievers? Is it while the good and the bad are united together, or the wheat and the tares, in the same field, in the same church? No. It's after we have chosen to follow God's command and to come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing anymore, no longer remaining connected with the harlot church, but to drop all connection with the harlot church, that unclean woman. After we've done that, then God says, I will receive you, I will be your father, and you'll be adopted into my family as my sons and daughters. He promises that because he said, saith the Lord Almighty. It's a promise. If we comply with the conditions, if we follow his commands, we then are entitled to this promise to be his children and he our father. So these verses clearly show us that God's appointed way of cleansing his people is accomplished by separating all the true and righteous followers from all the wicked and false people in all of the corrupt churches of today. So God is not cleansing the churches by removing all the wicked from them. He's not cleansing the churches by miraculously changing all the characters of the wicked within them into now holiness. But God is working to cleanse by separating his people that are scattered all over the world from having connection with all the wicked in the corrupt harlot churches, and is bringing just these separated ones to Zion. God is working to separate his true flock from those church leaders, those priests, shepherds, and ministers who have led them astray, so that they will not be destroyed along with the wicked. But dear ones, there's more about this cleansing process found in God's word. And next time, we'll understand more about this great cleansing work of our God. Have you laid all on the altar? Are you willing to forsake everything that you hold dear in order to follow Thus Saith the Lord? Are you willing to let go of every prized possession in order to cling to Jesus Christ? Are you willing to let go of an unclean church that you may become part of God's spiritual Zion? Each and every one of us are being tested who we love. Is it Christ? Is it ourselves? Is it another idol? We learned in adult Sabbath school that when Mary had seen the love that Christ manifested for her, that she gave up being connected with harlotry. She gave it up out of love for her Savior. Are we willing to give up our connection with a harlot church out of love for our Savior, Jesus Christ? May God help us to clearly understand His will, to fully repent for not following it sooner, and to give us the grace and the strength to live a new life, a life of faith and obedience, connected with Jesus Christ. May we indeed become part of God's true church of Zion. Our closing song is We're Marching to Zion. Come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord, join in a song with sweet accord, and thus surround the throne, and thus surround the throne. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion, we're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God, but children of the heavenly King, but children of the heavenly King, may speak their joys abroad, may speak their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
Amen. Hallelujah. The hills are Zion Hill, a thousand sacred sweet. Before we reach the heavenly field, before we reach the heavenly fields, all walk the golden street, and walk the golden street. We're marching through Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching to fairer, fairer world. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. And praise God for sending Jesus down to unite himself with us and to be with us every advancing step of the way until we gain everlasting life. It's now time for closing prayer, and who here would like to offer that? Please feel free.
Bow our heads. Thank you, dear Lord, for giving us a special day where all of us can meet the other worlds, this world, all of the hearts united with love, and to hear about Jesus and how he has defeated the devil and saved us in his kingdom. If we should choose to be saved, be with each one of us today and help us receive a special blessing to have our hearts filled with joy, to, if we can be out in nature, to see the wonderful things created for us, to remind us of God and his wonderful plan. Be with those who are suffering, no matter what the malady is. Give them the Sabbath blessings for today and help them to draw closer to you, because you are the great physician and everyone that comes to you is healed. Forgive us where we've sinned. Forgive us for idling our time away when we could be learning more about you so that we could tell others and have them join us in this beautiful world that we live in, this world of love. Not that the world is beautiful, but the love in the world is beautiful. So, thank you, dear Lord, for all of these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. And a thank you, dearest sister. Are there any thoughts, any comments, any questions, dear ones, that you have? Any testimonies or songs that you'd like to sing? Anything else that you'd like to share? Please feel free. There was a verse that was quoted, Isaiah 33, and part of that chapter is a scripture song. It's actually verses 16, 17, and 22. And let me sing it for you. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him, his water shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our King. He will save us, for the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our King. He will save us. Isaiah 33:16-22. So our bread and waters shall be sure, but only if we're part of God's Zion, with Jesus as our King.
I have a request from a dear sister to sing a song. This is a song that my dear mother wrote. And there's a little story behind this song, but I'll sing the song first. Are you a friend of Jesus? Have you been true to him? Have you kept his commandments? Have you rejected your sins? Have you told others about him and faithfully prayed each day? Did you know Jesus loves you and he'll be your friend always? Yes, I'm a friend of Jesus. I will be true to him. I will keep his commandments. I will reject all my sins. I will tell others about him and faithfully pray each day. I know that Jesus loves me, and I'll be his friend always. Well, about this story, it actually was a different song, and it goes like, in the Bible, Jesus says he'll come again, and he'll take to heaven all who's been his friend. But the faithful who will meet him are so few, and I want to meet Jesus, don't you? Yes, I do. I want to meet Jesus, don't you? Yes, I do. I want to reach heaven, don't you? Yes, I do. When Jesus comes together, his good and faithful few. Oh, I want to meet Jesus, don't you? Yes, I do. My mom and I were at Rancho Los Amigos Hospital in Los Angeles. It's a rehab hospital. And when the polio epidemic was so bad, I remember as a child going to this facility, and talking with the people who were in iron lungs. It was my first experience with that. Thank God there's something better now for those who have respiratory problems. But my mom and I were there on the Sabbath, and I have my ukulele with me, and we were singing to the people there in the hospital. And they were just admitting a young boy. His name was David, and he was not able to control his movements or his eyes or his hands. And I was asking his mom if he liked music. And she said, yes, he loves music. So we sang this song to David, and it's a response song where you would respond, yes, I do. So Sabbath, after Sabbath, that we were allowed to be there, and we were only allowed to be there once a month, we would see David, and he would sing this song with us in the response part, and he couldn't speak very plainly, but he could respond. And his response was, nothing I knew, and appropriately. And one Sabbath, we came there, and we were getting ready to talk with David, and there was a group of nurses standing over in a corner of the room, and one of the nurses said, you just mind, don't mind him. He can't understand anything you're doing. Just leave him alone. He doesn't respond. And I looked at my mom and I thought, wow, because the last time we were here, he was doing fine. So anyway, we started to sing this song to David and he responded and it was amazing. And so I went over to where the nurses were huddled in a little group over in the corner of the room. And I said, come here, I want to show you something. And so they looked surprised that I was over there interrupting them. I said, just come here, I want you to see something. So we started singing the song to David and he responded. And they were shocked, really shocked and amazed. And so anyway, the next Sabbath when we were allowed to come back, here he was surrounded by nurses. He was sitting up in bed and he was laughing and he was getting the attention that he needed. And all because a nurse saw him respond and it came to her that yes, there was somebody there and he got the attention he needed. Praise God.
Amen. And thank you for that testimony and for singing those beautiful songs. And it was his desire to follow Christ that allowed him to give his personal public confession of him that brought about a change in the hearts of others and also benefited him. So, amen. Request is hold fast till I come, and then, oh brother, be faithful. So we'll do hold fast first. Sweet promises given to all who believe. Behold, I come quickly, mine own to receive. Hold fast till I come, the danger is great. Sleep not as do others, be watchful and wait. Hold fast till I come, sweet promise of heaven. The kingdom restored to you shall be given. Come enter my joy, sit down on the throne. Bright crowns are in waiting. Hold fast till I come.
Amen.
We'll wash unto prayer when lamps burning bright. He comes to all others as thief in the night. We know he is near, but know not the day. As spring showed us summer is not far away. Hold fast till I come. heaven, the kingdom restore, to you shall be given. Come enter my joy, sit down on the throne, bright crown sighing waiting, oh fast till I come. Yes, this is our hope, this built on his word, the glorious appearing of Jesus our Lord. A promise is all, it stands as the sum. Behold, I come quickly, hold fast till I come. Hold fast till I come, sweet promise of heaven, the kingdom restored, to you shall be given. Come enter my joy, sit down on the throne, bright crowns are in waiting. Hold fast till I come.
Oh, brother, be faithful, soon Jesus will come, for whom we have waited so long. Oh, soon we shall enter our glorious home, and join in the conqueror's song. Oh, sister, be faithful, for why should we prove unfaithful to him who has shown such deep, such unbounded and infinite love, who died to redeem us his own?
Oh, brother, be faithful, the city of gold, prepare for the good and the blessed, is waiting its portals of pearl to unfold, and welcome thee into thy rest. Then, sister, be faithful, not long shall we stay in weariness here and forlorn. Time.
Oh, brother, be faithful, he soon will descend, creation's omnipotent king. While legions of angels his chariot attend, and palm wreaths of victory bring. O sister, be faithful, and soon shalt thou hear thy Savior pronounce the glad word. Well done, faithful servant, thy title is clear, to enter the joy of thy Lord. O brother, be faithful, eternity's years shall tell for thy faithfulness now, when bright smiles of gladness shall scatter thy tears, a coronet gleam on thy brow. O sister, be faithful, the promise is sure that waits for the faithful and tried, to reign with the ransomed immortal and pure, and ever with Jesus abide. What a reward for faithfulness now, eternal life with our Savior. Priceless.
Stand us and applaud, Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory on to victory, his arm shall ye lead. Till every foe is vanished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. For to the mighty conflict, in this is glorious day. Ye that of Christ now serve him against unnumbered fold. Let courage race with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor and wash in unto prayer, where calls the voice of duty, be never waiting dear. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him the overcomer, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
Amen. Beautiful hymns, dear ones, and thank you for the selections. Are there any other songs that you'd like to sing or requests? Anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please go right ahead. It's been a wonderful Sabbath fellowship, and praise God for making it so. I pray that God will bless you with a wonderful remaining Sabbath, as well as a very blessed, protected, and growing new week coming. Continue indeed to advance step by step with the Savior upward. And make sure that the love you manifest to him is greater than your love for self, and especially greater than your love for sin. So may God bless dear ones, and I'd like to leave you with this song. You will see your Lord a-coming, you will see your Lord a-coming, you will see your Lord a-coming in a few more days. You will hear Christ's silver trumpet, you will hear Christ's silver trumpet, you will hear Christ's silver trumpet in a few more days. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music which is sounding through the air.
You will see the saints arising, you will see the saints arising. You will see saints arising in a few more days. Then we'll travel to the city. We will travel to the city. We will travel to the city in a few more days. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music which is sounding through the air.
Then we'll shout our sufferings over, we will shout our sufferings over, we will shout our sufferings over in a few more days. Then we'll spend eternity, we will spend eternity, we will spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music which is sounding through the air.
You will see your Lord a-coming, you will hear Christ's silver trumpet. You will see the saints arising in a few more days. Then we'll travel to the city, then we'll shout our sufferings over, then we'll spend eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music which is sounding through the air.
Just a quick little history on this song. Elder James White used to walk down a church aisle with a big Bible in his hand, and he would be keeping time on that Bible while he was singing this song.
Definitely was an attention getter. No one could be doing anything else with that type of introduction. So praise the Lord. Well, dear ones, we'll definitely see our Lord a-coming in a few days. Get yourself ready, for the coming of our Lord draweth nigh.